The quickest way to growing your business, in my books, is collaborating with businesses that serve a similar audience as you. And the beauty of podcasting is that you get an instant foot in the door to have that collaboration conversation if your guest or the host is that fit. So I have collaboration expert Meg Burridge of Collaboration Station on to share how to approach collaborations, your options and opportunities, and how to find them. But before we dive in, let me share a podcast that's hot on my list, The Millionaire Maker, hosted by Lindsay Anderson. Here's the trailer.
Are you a coach, consultant, or expert who's struggling to scale your business? Do you want to build an audience of high-quality prospects that are ready to buy? Are you ready for actionable, what's working now insights that make it easier to market and sell your programs? I'm Lindsay Anderson, the host of The Millionaire Maker Show, the top-rated podcast dedicated to helping coaches, consultants, and experts scale their online businesses. Leveraging over 20 years of hands-on experience in digital marketing and running a seven-figure coaching business, I bring you an exclusive blend of invaluable insights. So if you're a coach, consultant, or expert who's ready to scale your business and achieve your goals, you won't want to miss a single episode. Tune in every week for a dose of inspiration, strategies, and actionable advice that are guaranteed to transform your business.
Hey guys, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Hi, Meg. I have with me Meg Burridge with the Collaboration Station, and we're going to talk about collaborations. And surprise, you and surprise. I have collaborated, Meg.
Hello, Lindsay. Thank you so much for having me on. There is not really any other topic I'd prefer to talk about than collaboration.
I know. Besides templates. Just kidding.
Besides templates. Besides Kajabi. Yeah.
I'm teasing. So I have chatted with you before and spoke with your group as well and checked out your collaboration station. So we're going to reverse engineer this topic and start at the beginning, because collaboration really is a big word. So like for business owners, how would you describe collaboration and why is it beneficial?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, I just like to keep things nice and simple when it comes to collaboration. And there are so many ways you can collaborate. So I think like the essence of it is just finding a way that is going to be a win-win for two or more people is going to be a collaboration. And you can be so creative with the kinds of collaborations that you can put together. But I think when I approach a collaboration or a discussion that I hope will end in a collaboration, it's really starting from a point of, well, what would be in it for them, you know, rather than what's going to be in it for me. Smart. And trying to come up with something that is going to be of equal benefit to both of you.
Agreed. And that's the key, right? Where it's a win-win. So just so that like business owners can kind of wrap their head around it, how would you describe a collaboration opportunity? Like, what are some ways that podcasters can collaborate or business owners can collaborate?
Yeah. I've got my own podcast, and I have to say, Lindsay, like until you came on and spoke about pod swaps, I hadn't done much as far as collaboration on podcasts goes. Yeah. But, you know, a couple of other collaboration strategies that I think everyone would be super familiar with would be things like a virtual summit, you know, speaking on somebody's summit, or one of these digital bundles. We've got digital bundles everywhere at the moment, you know, contributing to somebody's digital bundle. In the podcast space, it might be that you go and speak on somebody's podcast and give value to their audience, and then they come and talk on your podcast and give value to your audience, you know. So it's really, it can be anything. And I think people sort of get in their own way around collaboration and, you know, prevent themselves from having success because they get all up in their heads about not being at a point in their business where they're ready to collaborate or have enough to offer to the collaboration. And, you know, what I just love about collaboration is there's just so many ways that you can cut it up and slice it up. And, you know, it's just, the opportunities are endless when it comes to collabs.
That's true. And I think besides like, you know, affiliate links and like, oh, I share a service of yours or a masterclass that you're doing and give an affiliate link. Like that to me is like the obvious way, but you totally can get creative. And so for you, like what have you done collaboration wise, or even your clients within Collaboration Station, which of course we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
Like any success stories that you've heard?
Yeah. I mean, something that I heard just recently was a really good joint webinar that two of our members put together. So they both work with a similar audience, but have a different offering. And so what they did was they created a joint webinar and invited both of their email lists to come along to this webinar and then bundled an offer, you know, at the end so that they received one lady's course and then another lady's, you know, additional training and templates and things. So it was this sort of bundled opportunity to get both of their things at the same low price, which isn't normally available. And I love that bundle approach to things. For me, in my own business, one of my favorite ways to collaborate with people, because I sell courses and coaching. And something that I often struggle with when I'm going through a launch is what to have as a bonus that goes with my course or my coaching. Often I will reach out to industry peers who have like a cool digital product or a training on something I know nothing about and ask them if we can, you know, include their little mini products and offers as the bonuses with my course. And then obviously we organize like a wholesale rate to pay them for every person who signs up for my training. But I find that, you know, that in itself makes my course and my training look so much more valuable because it comes with all these other known people's cool things. You know, it's just, it's a really easy way to collaborate. And, you know, so many people think, oh, no one would want to collaborate with me because I've got no email list. But a collaboration like that doesn't require an email list. You know, you could be going through a launch with not really any audience at all. And if I'm going to reach out to some industry peers and say, hey, could I buy like 30 of your templates at wholesale to include for, you know, people who'll be, no one's going to say no to that. They don't care what your list size is. So, you know, that is a perfect win-win where list size doesn't really come into it. And there are lots of examples like that.
I love that example. And of course, it's a win-win for the other person, A, because they're getting their thing purchased at a wholesale rate. But when other people do buy your product, they're going to learn about that other person and their services and obviously be curious. So they're able to tap into an audience that is totally warm that they normally wouldn't be able to. I've never even thought of doing that. I love that. So
I call it the be the bonus strategy. And you know, and you can, as the person who is just getting started, you know, maybe you're not quite ready to go and launch your big signature offer just yet, but perhaps you've got already little products or little workshops, recorded workshops or things where you could be the bonus in somebody else's program, you know, so it can easily work both ways. And, you know, if you can be the bonus in somebody else's stuff, just the eyeballs on the sales page alone bring so much more traffic to your website. You know, even those people who look at the sales page and perhaps don't join that person's program, they go down, they have a look at the bonuses, they see you there and all your amazing inclusion. And, you know, it's like instant credibility to be on somebody else's sales page.
Yeah. I love that creativity. Again, like you said, like there's so many different options out there. So you brought up something when someone doesn't have a list. So like, are there any requirements, if you will, to start any kind of collaboration? Like, do you have to have a certain service or product or referral program or can just anyone really take advantage of that strategy?
I think really anybody can take advantage of it, but you know, it always does come down to building the relationships with the people first so that you get those opportunities. We see plenty of people come into our space over on Collaboration Station who start with like zero list, you know, like they are right at the beginning. And we've sort of figured out now what the the typical success path is for people getting started. Like it is usually participating in one of those bundles. So if they've got like a little digital product or can create a little digital product that's quick to create and isn't going to take them months, and then they participate in a bundle, they usually grow their list by a couple of hundred people just, you know, through that one collaboration. Then from there, if they're like pretty good at speaking and feel like they could talk as an expert on a topic, then a next natural step would be to go and speak on a summit. And there's so many virtual summits around looking for speakers.
Yeah.
And usually as a virtual summit speaker, you'll get the opportunity to share a freebie with the audience. So there's another few hundred people on your email list.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's nurturing those relationships with your fellow virtual summit speakers and your fellow bundle contributors, and plenty of them will have, you know, other memberships where they need guest speakers to come in, or they've got a podcast and they're looking for guests. And it's really just, you know, making sure that you are, I guess, putting the time and the effort into carrying that collaboration through into future things. You know, it's not just a one and done, but it's like, yes, okay, well, here's just like the first step of what this collaboration, you know, relationship could become, and really making the time to connect with people and explore what future collaborations can come out of it afterwards.
Yeah, that's really key. You don't want it to feel like a transactional experience. You want it to be like an ongoing relationship, especially when like two businesses are serving the same audience. Like you would want to foster that and keep it going, because it's always going to benefit each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know. I see lots of people also who join Collaboration Station without an affiliate program, you know, and something I'd always thought before was, oh, you've got to have an affiliate program. But I actually see plenty of people have success without one, you know, and just setting up even just trusted referral type, very loose agreements, you know, where if somebody refers someone, they might just sort of behind the scenes send them a little bit of money or a gift card or, you know, something to say thank you. But there's lots of collaborations you can do without having your own affiliate program. And there's lots of collaborations you can do as an affiliate for others, you know. So if you're not really at the stage yet where you're ready to put together your own affiliate program, there's so many easy ways to get involved as an affiliate in other people's stuff.
Yes. Agreed. I do that myself. Any tools that I use, I always get their affiliate links.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's easy money, right?
Easy money.
And I believe in the product, so why not recommend them?
For sure.
Yeah, and some of them I have relationships with the owners. I've had like the owners on my, or the co-founders on my podcast and chatted to them. And so it's been fun for me.
Yeah. You know, and I think we can't always be creating and launching our own stuff, you know, because that's exhausting. Sometimes it's like actually way easier to sell somebody else's stuff. You know, if you know their product, if you've been through their training, you know, you can do like a little mini promotion, maybe a joint webinar with that person, bring them in as a guest, share your affiliate link, get the commission from the sales, and then you get to hand the people all over, you know. It's like, okay, I've done my part. You coach them for the next 12 weeks. I'm going to take a few months off.
So true. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, you're totally right. So how do you approach someone? Like, how do you get the ball rolling with someone without it feeling kind of like out of the blue and kind of awkward?
And I'm sure everyone listening to your podcast, Lindsay, is like, oh, I get so many cold pitches and I just want to like delete them. You know, those cold pitch, horrible emails that turn up through your website contact form every day. I'm just like, how do these people find me? But there are, you know, people who will reach out to me where I will absolutely entertain a chat. And, you know, where I'm more likely to make time for someone is if they reach out to me with an actual idea. You know, I'm less likely to want to jump on a call and explore collaborations if someone just reaches out to me and says, hey, you know, I think what you do is really interesting. Do you want to have a coffee chat? You know, that's like, we're all busy. You know, like I got 5,000 things on my to-do list today.
Right.
But if somebody reaches out to me with an actual idea, you know, for a collaboration that they would like to explore, and they've done a little bit of research and they, you know, I don't want them to write me an essay, but if they can just give me like a couple of key points and something that immediately is going to like spark my interest and make me think, oh, there could be something in this, then I'm much more likely to jump on a call with someone.
I agree. And I think that it makes it feel like, okay, they have a vested interest and they understand what I do. They care about what I do. They're not reaching out to me for me to figure it out for them. It's like they have an idea. And also, if they express like, hey, we both serve a similar audience, but we have different, you know, products, maybe there's a way we can like work together. At least I get, like you said, they've actually put some thought through. To have a chat and like, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, at least you've explored the opportunity.
A few of the sort of out of the blue chats I've been on lately, which have worked really well, have come about through referrals. Mm. I was talking to someone, a coach, a couple of months back, and he likes to host what he calls intro parties. So you schedule some time in his calendar, really cool guy. You jump onto a call. He's got this whole fancy spreadsheet he brings up, Lindsay, and he takes you through intro party, which is like he asks you all about, you know, your main services and offers and, you know, what he does. And he tries to look for ways where you could collaborate with him. But then in addition, he just like on the call brainstorms three people where he thinks you would be like a good fit collaboration wise with them, and then does the email introduction while you're on the call. This is like his whole intro party structure. So good. But then, you know, whether if he connects you via email or via something like Instagram in a DMs, you're so much more likely to go and get on the call with someone if it comes via a trusted referral person. You know, if he says, oh, you need to go and talk to Dana, then I'm like, oh, well, Lily need to go and talk to Dana, you know, and she hears from him with the introduction and she makes time. So I think if you can strategically start to find ways where, you know, you ask people in your conversations like, hey, do you know of anyone that I should be talking to about this, you know, and see if you can get them to do some referrals, because it's so much more likely to end well, you know, if it comes from someone that's trusted.
Agreed. And then that's why too, I like podcasting. It's like, if there's someone that's, again, serving a similar audience, but they do something slightly different, I like their topic. I'm like, ooh, of course I'm going to invite them onto my podcast if it serves my audience, and then kind of like feel them out. Like, what do they do in their business? What is their bread and butter? What are they focused on? What kind of clients are they looking at? So you can kind of like, it's like your foot in the door, right? To like have those conversations.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think we need to look for more foots indoors, Lizzie. Yes.
Well, speaking of a big foot indoor, of course, tell us about Collaboration Station and what made you create it in the first place.
Well, Collaboration Station came about, the idea was sparked last year, so around about October. And I was sitting on the couch and I was thinking to myself, you know, am I going to just like create Kajabi templates forever? Like, surely I could think of something more useful than that, you know, to the ecosystem of entrepreneurs. And I started to ask myself, you know, well, what was it that made my business successful? And I looked back over the last few years and I landed on, it was collaboration. You know, it was all the partnerships that I set up and the relationships that I built from the early days, because I had no list. I really suck at Facebook ads. So I always say to people, if you find me on an ad, it's a miracle, because I have no idea what I'm doing on the ads platform. But collaborations just made it possible for me to reach audiences that I never would have reached otherwise. And I thought, why isn't everyone getting involved in collaborations? And where do you go to, you know, find a central place where you can find people who are keen to collaborate without having to go through all the cold pitch emails, you know, and oh goodness, that's like the last thing that I wanted to do. So, but we just need a central spot. We just need a home of collaboration where people can come and find like-minded creators who are looking to do something similar and looking for the virtual summit speakers and the bundle contributors and affiliate armies and all the things that go with collaborations. So it just sort of started from there and snowballed into something that, you know, just got a life of its own now, Lindsay. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I love it. So kind of walk us through it. So once you sign up, like, Do you see all the other, like, you have your own profile? Can you, like, how do you, look for opportunities, or what kind of opportunities can you look at when you're in there?
Yeah, I mean, when I started, I thought the directory side of it would be the most important bit. I actually think that is, like, now it's funny, you know, a few months later, you're like, oh, actually, well, I got that wrong. Everyone does get a profile, but I don't think many people actually spend a lot of time on the directory looking at the profiles. Yeah, interesting. But yeah, you do get a profile. But in addition to that, it's things like, you know, we go out into the market and look for collaboration opportunities that are currently open for applications. Ah. So we go and look for the summits that need the speakers and the bundles that need the contributors, and we put them all on the calendar so that people can apply for opportunities that they feel they're suited to. And then it's things like collaboration coaching sessions and mixes and co-working, so that if you don't know how to apply to be on a virtual summit, we can help you with your application. So, you know, what started as, oh, it's just going to be like a directory and people will find collaborations on it, became like much more focused on community and the actual coaching side, because, you know, we just really underestimated the, I guess, the level of knowledge that people were going to have around collaboration. Like, most people have no clue. They just come on there and they're overwhelmed, no idea where to start. And, you know, it's become a lot more of a, you know, we just realized early on, we're going to have to really, like, hold everyone's hand and help them through this process to get their first collaborations, you know, off the ground. It's a lot more now around the coaching and community than the directory. And now it's actually about, it's moving into what I'm calling phase two, which is collaboration management. So for all those people who are, you know, wanting to collaborate, and perhaps they already have affiliates that are completely neglected, you know, and they just need help with the getting it done for them, basically, because they love the idea of it, but not enough time to put into it themselves.
I love that it has grown and morphed so much just over the, like, a year. And you're so right. It's like, people need, I feel like they don't have that sense of confidence when they are applying for something, or maybe they're not showcasing themselves or positioning themselves or even their topics in the right way to get a yes on those opportunities. So for you to, like, extend it and have that educational platform and that sense of community is amazing. And you're so right. When it comes to, like, partner promotion, I work with a few clients that have a lot of partners that promote her stuff, and I don't take part in that part, but it's a lot to do. So many moving parts.
Yeah, I know. Even I think every time I create something in business, Lindsay, I think I just created it for myself, you know, because I'm like, oh, I am my own avatar, but I have an amazing group of affiliates, but I never get a chance to touch base with them or tell them the promotion is coming up or organize the swipe copy or the graphics or all those things where you're like, oh, I know I need to do that. But if you're a one woman operator, like, when do you find the time? So it's like, okay, let's, maybe I can be our first client on the done for you management side of things. But I see definitely a need among the members for, you know, just them wanting to get involved in all of this stuff and just being so short on time that they can't.
Absolutely. And even, like, tracking the opportunities and then what you need from that, and, like, what are the requirements? How many emails are you supposed to send it out? And, like, there are so many details, and then tracking the results.
All of that. It could be a beast. All of that. I know, absolutely. So yeah, it has evolved. It's a long way from where I thought it was going to go. It's like, it's been just a continual evolution. You know, we include something and we think everyone's going to love this, and then no one does. And we're like, oh, okay, back to the drawing board to take that out. We'll put this in. Oh yeah, everyone likes that. Okay. So, you know, it's just one of those startup type things where you just have to listen to the members and iterate, basically. It's just one big iteration.
Right? Totally. So here's a question. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to say yes to? Because you don't want to apply for everything, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
I mean, there is FOMO, so you feel like you should apply for everything. But how do you know what to pick, and how do you know when to say no?
Yeah. I think especially if you're trying to also sell, promote your own things, it can be very easy to like completely, spread yourself too thin with trying to do your own stuff and mm-hmm. trying to promote other people's things. And you don't want your list to only be hearing from you about a promotion, like they want the value pieces, or you're going to have a whole bunch of unsubscribes. So, these days I try and only get involved in like one or two affiliate style promotions or collaborations a quarter. And little ones, like if it's a big affiliate style of promotion, every year I get involved in James Wedmore's Business by Design program, but that's like a massive launch. And I would only get involved in that as an affiliate once a year, because it takes weeks of preparation to be involved on that scale. And then, just making sure that you're balancing it with your own stuff. And, often there's not huge list requirements to get involved in these collaborations, that sometimes they'll want you to have a list, but more often than not, you can speak on a summit or participate in a bundle without having, thousands of people on your email list. But they will ask you, to make sure that during a set date you are promoting to whatever list you've got and that you're promoting it on social. And if you're applying for everything, it can be really easy to accidentally like overlap those promotional periods. And it's like, oh my goodness, I got to be promoting this summit and this bundle like at exactly the same time. And this is like exactly the time when I was going to be launching my own thing. And, I think it's important to have a tracker, even if it's just like a simple spreadsheet where you've got the dates on it. And anytime you apply for something or even before you apply, you have a look at the promotional requirements. And go and look at your calendar and make sure that that actually is going to fit in, because, it doesn't work out well if you put your hand up for something and you get accepted and then you withdraw. That never looks good for if you want future opportunities to come about. So you want to, be able to follow through on it after you apply for something. And then I think it's a matter of making sure that those things that you do apply for, you are actually aligned with it, because there's no point in growing your list with hundreds of the wrong people, so they're not going to buy your stuff anyway, and they're probably going to unsubscribe, and you know the issues with it,
affect your email deliverability and all that good stuff,
so you got to be like picky, and there's so many opportunities out there that you can say no and have something else float across your desk the following week that's going to be the perfect fit. So I think people don't need to worry too much about like, oh, this is the only opportunity I'm going to get. It's like, no, if it's not right, as my husband says, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no, just if it's not right, say no. And that's just going to leave you open for opportunities that are a much better fit.
Yeah. Great advice. What are some of the mistakes that you've seen within the collaboration space?
I think the biggest challenge I see people come across is when they get into a collaboration could be something to do with the values, of the two people collaborating, but it's just out of alignment, or what people are expecting out of the collaboration is not clear, And so people are either, they feel uncomfortable throughout the collaboration process, and then it doesn't end well because one half doesn't do what they said they were going to do, or the expectations are not aligned, no agreement, like written agreement that sort of clearly outlines who's going to do what, and it's very easy to jump to conclusions around, oh, I'm going to do this and they're going to do that, and then you get upset when they don't do what you thought they were going to do. So I think I don't often use a written like legal agreement, but I do put things in writing usually quite clearly in my emails and like really outline things just so we're all clear on how it's going to work. Because, I have jumped into collaborations in the past where I've been pretty disappointed after, you do all the work and you think, oh, where were they? Like, that was a whole lot of work on my part. And then I had to go and, give away however much revenue you've determined between you. So, I've got a friend who is a lawyer and she creates legal templates for online business owners. And she always says, if you wouldn't do it on a handshake, like, don't do it. You know, like a legal agreement is great, but if you don't get that gut feel in your initial chat that you could do it without a legal agreement and that everything would be fine, then it's probably like a red flag, don't do it type situation.
So true, man. I wish I like had listened to my gut earlier on. It's like, as you get older, you listen to it a little bit more, but, and even I've like taken a little baby step. It's like, okay, let's do this. And then like, see how that goes. And then, okay, then we can do this next. You know what I mean? That's maybe bigger and more work involved, just to kind of like test those waters. Cause again, everyone, maybe they overextended themselves and didn't have the time, or, you know, some people, yeah, they just don't follow through. Like, who knows? Right. So you kind of want to make sure that, like you said, you're aligned.
Absolutely. You know, and I think something that it's hard to do, but, you know, when you get into a collaboration and you see it going sideways, I don't think there's anything wrong with not completing whatever it is that you were going to do, you know, like bailing basically. I think it's okay to bail and just to say, look, this is like not how I imagined it was going to go. And, you know, this is, you know, however you're going to explain it. But I mean, even recently we at Collaboration Station, we spent a couple of $1,000s to sponsor an event that's coming up. And it just became clear as we were going through it, like, this isn't going to work out well for us. You know, it's just the people that it's going to attract are not going to be the right kind of people. And as much as we would love to be involved in this event, because, you know, it's a big event, I was like, no, this is not going to work. So, you know, we had to pull the pin on that. And I think it is okay in, you know, situations like that to just really look at it and assess, you know, is it going to be a benefit to both of you? And if it's not, then, you know, it doesn't matter if you can't follow through on it in certain circumstances like that. You just have to have the awkward conversation sometimes.
Yes, you do. Because it's like, you have to look after yourself and your business and your time and your money. It's like, you got to do what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So how can people take advantage of your services? How can they get involved with the Collaboration Station, and what does that look like?
Okay. Well, they should head to collaborationstation.co. I couldn't have the .com. Someone else had that. That we're a .co, but they should jump on over there and they can absolutely get started for free. We're just this week actually introducing a completely free plan, a free forever plan. So come on over there and join us over in the Collaboration Station community. We've got an awesome little private community of members and, you know, lots of fun networking and support type activities happening over there. So start there. And then, you know, if you feel like you want to take it to the next step, you can always reach out to us if you want us to help you with the collaboration and affiliate management side of things.
I love that. And you're very hands-on with the group. So you're always available for questions or support or help. And so love that you're like that. It's really nice. You're a good leader.
We're workaholics, but thankfully I also have a lovely, lovely community manager, Courtney, over there. Yes. Who's looking after everyone. But it's a really special place where we're enjoying the community side.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about collaboration. Again, for podcasters out there, having a guest on your show or guesting on other shows, that totally puts your foot in the door for collaborations. But you do need more than that, right? So to go to collaborationstation.co for sure, to get more opportunities, connect with more people and be a part of a bigger community. I feel like collaboration is such an easier way to build your business without, like you said, dealing with Facebook ads and that cost.
Absolutely. And, you know, these days we might bolster the collaborations with ads on top, you know, there's no harm in doing that. No. But I think when you are just getting started, trying to figure out ads is like, if you can grow your business with collaborations first, that is a much easier route than trying to figure out ads.
Agreed. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Lindsay. It was lovely.
All you do. And thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye, folks. We'll see you next week on the Leverage Your Podcast Show.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.